Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we are going to have a great show today. We got my TIs that will be on, Target Individuals. We got Ralph Pointer, Dr. Short, and many, many more. I tell you, before we get started, why don't we start the show off today with a little Martin Luther King?
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountain. crucified. Let freedom ring when this happens. When we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. Once again, I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I just want to take a moment out, and I want to pray for my good friend, Lynn Stewart, Ralph Pointer, and I also want to pray for my TIs, the target individuals. So I'm just going to take a moment out and pray, and then we're going to go directly into our show. Gracious Father, we come today, first of all, to thank you, to praise your name, to lift you up, to thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for loving us first. We love you so much, Lord. We know that we can do nothing without you. We just praise you today and lift you up, Lord. Lord, we thank you today for all your marvelous blessings, all your past blessings, present blessings, future blessings. But most of all, we'd like to thank what you've already done. We'd like to thank what you're about to do. We'd like to thank you for your son, Jesus. And we thank Jesus for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you touch Lynn Stewart right now. We ask that you touch her mind right now. Touch her heart right now. Touch her soul right now. Touch her spirit right now. Touch her, for she might be having cancer. If she got cancer, Lord, I know you can heal it, because I know you're a healer. I know that for a fact, Lord. Oh, I ask that you touch her right now. Heal her right now. We're claiming it right now in your son Jesus' name. We know we can do nothing without you, Lord. But Lynn Stewart, she needs you right now. We ask that you move this thing to a whole different level. Please touch her right now. And my TIs, the target individuals, I ask that you touch their minds right now. Touch their hearts right now. Touch their spirit right now. Touch their soul right now. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Let them know that you're God and you're God all by yourself. There is no other. If we search the ends of the earth, we'll find out that you're God and you're God all by yourself. Lord, I ask you to touch them right now. Give them strength right now. Lord, help them to stay together. You can do it, Lord. I know there's nothing too hard for my God. Lord, I say this in your son, Jesus' name, in Jesus' precious name, let everybody say amen and amen and amen. What a loving God we serve. And I'm claiming healing for Lynn Stewart right now, because I am a man of God, and I believe that God will move and touch Lynn Stewart. Lord, touch him. Touch him right now. Listen, let's get into our show. Here's what we've been doing now. We are on the verge of having a tremendous protest in Washington, D.C., and in Baltimore, Maryland, at the national headquarters of the NAACP. The press release went out today, and I just want everybody to know, here's where it's going to be. On April the 3rd, the location is 1156 15th Street in Washington, D.C., at 10 a.m. On April the 4th, at 10 a.m., at the NAACP National Headquarters at 4805 Mount Hope Drive in Baltimore, Maryland. Who we are expecting? We're expecting churches to come out, the community activists to come out, the black organizations, including Banco. The protest is against the NAACP. We're demanding an end to the corruption and the misrepresentation by the NAACP at all levels. African American for Justice demand President Ben Jealous and the national board members resign immediately. We will lobby Congress to demand that a complete investigation of the NAACP is conducted to show the corruption and the corporate influence. We demand that the IRS revoke the NAACP 501c3 nonprofit status. We must take action due to the failure of the civil rights organization, which no longer practices Jackson's civil rights to represent the best interests of the African-American community. Issue ranged from destruction of the black family, violation of the members' civil rights, human rights, to the extraordinary high incarceration rates of black men. The only word that can define the gross negligence of the NAACP is betrayal. They have abandoned our community, morality, and our economic and educational needs for all the corporate money. So we're asking everybody that's listening to this program to meet us in Washington, D.C. on April the 3rd. Please come. And on April the 4th, we're expecting everybody to come to the headquarters of the NAACP for this tremendous protest that we are planning. I'm hoping that you can come, because this is basically just the beginning. Well, we're not giving anybody free pass. We are sick and tired of giving black folks a free pass. Reverend Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, that whole group, and including NAACP, we will no longer give them a free pass. But at this time, I got to bring on my dear friend, my man, my guy. I tell you, if you met him, you have to love this guy. My friend, Ralph Pointer. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney. And I've been able to convince people to listen in based on your ability to preach. Because I'm talking about revolutionary theology. That is a theology that relates to the people. And to hear you preach to the Lord on behalf of those who do justice is something that we need. Because we hear a lot of preaching, and so much preaching about nothing, and it does not relate to anything. Storytelling about nothing. And when you preach, as I told Lynn on several occasions, if she could only hear you preach, and she cannot hear you from where she is, she cannot speak to people from where she is. There's a list of who she can speak to. She cannot speak to reporters. They cannot take paper into her. And who is this woman they're keeping from speaking? A woman who fought on behalf of the education of our children in the inner cities. A woman who became a lawyer and fought on behalf of those who didn't get representation in the inner city to get justice by having a decent lawyer. And we must rethink all of these things that we talk about when we talk about freedom and justice. I was listening to Martin Luther King's speech, as you say it, as you play it weekly. What does freedom mean? What do we tie justice to? All of these words must be tied to an act. Justice, educational justice, in the form of community control. Control your education budget the same as all other communities control theirs. And I say, what do I mean by an education budget? You buy a loaf of bread, a quart of milk, there's a tax on it. And the government takes those taxes and gives it back to the people in the form of public works. What are public works? They build roads, schools, and hospitals. And the community that they build them in gets the benefit of that money in terms of transportation, in terms of education, and in terms of health care. And they also get it back, and everybody listen very closely, you get it back in terms of jobs. And for 100 years, when these jobs came to our community, they were all held by white people. Even to the day, even though the unions are losing their strength, when they had unions, we could not join. Let us remember history. In the AFL, you could not join if you were of color. What type of economic justice or freedom is that? You started always behind. When I grew up, the rate was, as a black person, two-thirds of what a white person would get. This was the unwritten rule that everybody followed. When they had the Great Depression and Roosevelt had his great program, guess what? They didn't pay black workers in the South the same thing they paid white workers in this national program. When you talk about justice and freedom, it is the freedom to be. And guess what? They put less than a half of the money per child in black schools in the South than they did in white schools because they were totally segregated. In the North, they didn't hire black people to teach black children, to build schools for black children, to maintain those schools. Think of what that means in terms of democracy. Every word you have has to apply to something. We never let it, or we never understood that all of these words, freedom and justice, applied to something. And here we find ourselves in the day 2013, a teacher writes a story, a math story, relating slavery in terms of if you had 56 apples on a tree and each slave picked an equal amount, and you had seven slaves, how many apples would each slave pick? This is relevant. And talk about beatings, etc. Well, you don't do that in this system. Well, is that educational justice? And the answer is no. And it is very clear, and I as a teacher understood this early on, because I was one of those children who had no interest in school. Because by the time I got to fourth grade, I realized that what they were talking about didn't relate to me. Everyone that they said was good was a slaver. Washington, Jefferson, all of the early builders of the nation, they were good. And then comes John Brown. And then they say, this religious man, and they say he was crazy, he was bad. For me, it was goodbye, Charlie. I don't like these people, and they don't like me. But as an adult, I came to understand why children do not relate to school, because school was all lies. So in 1963, 64, a few of us in New York City fought to include black history in our school system. And we became on the hit list. Lynn Stewart was one of the people on the hit list because we wanted to teach slavery. The black bourgeoisie, the NAACP types, joined in the struggle. And they said, no, you can't teach black history because it is too cruel. And I'm saying, I never heard such foolishness in my life. History is history. It is not black-white. It is what happened. And you have to teach what happened. So we had to fight the Board of Education. We had to fight the NAACPers because they said it was just too cruel to talk about. But I never heard anybody in New York City talk about the European Holocaust in Germany, dealing with 5 million people, as it being too cruel. And we have the African Holocaust, which numbers go up to as high as 100 million, because, as Masri Ali told us, Europe decivilized Africa. They destroyed it. They are still decivilizing it. In America, the American system is decivilizing the black community. How do they do that? They refuse to teach education. And anybody who has half of brain, anyone who would claim expertise in education, knows what was going to happen when they continued that. It was very predictable. But how many of us predicted this was what was going to happen? They talk about gun violence. Very predictable. And I say it, and I say it very clearly. They do it because they want to do it. And I'm going to make a criticism of our own. If you don't tell people who the enemy is, they will shoot each other. We were told not to fight our enemies. We were told to turn the other cheek. Well, I tell you that that is a total lie, and I say if I tramp on a black person's sneakers and get a little mark on it, I could be killed for that, because there is nobody telling us not to do that. Or they tell us not to do that, but don't put anything in its place. We don't have jobs. We want trinkets and beads, and I think everybody listening knows of the Reverend Jesse Jackson Jr., who had a career, a career that people considered a wonderful, helping the community. What did he do? He pled guilty to spending $750,000 on trinkets and beads. Now, was it trinkets? Mercedes-Benz, Rolex watches, clothing, garbage. We still have the mentality of trinkets and beads that got us in trouble in Africa, got us here. And so we have to begin to say, just what is justice? What is truth? And Lynn Stewart said on the witness stand, and this is one of the things that got her in trouble, was she said she is not of the Martin Luther King persuasion. She is of the Nelson Mandela persuasion. He spent all of those years in jail because he refused to renounce violence as a weapon in the struggle for freedom. And I say, as long as we tell people, oh, we can't be violent to find freedom, we can't fight violence with violence, we will fight each other because we don't understand what the real issues are. And so I would like to end with the idea that you cannot close an avenue off, any avenue, without opening up another avenue. The avenue that must be open for our children, because I will say it for every listener, I am predicting again, which I had predicted in 1957, unless children learn the truth as to why they are where they are, they will fight. They be wrapped in confusion. Nothing will make sense to them, and they will be the easy victim of the desire to have trinkets and beads. So, Reverend Pinckney, I just love your show. I love to listen in. I love your prayers. When you talk about freeing people's minds, and when you talk about we must change from our psychological stroke that we have of not taking action that will change the way our brains operate. How do we change ourselves? We must act on the principles of freedom and justice, but we must apply it to something. Jobs and education to get a job, and the only way that's going to happen, and I submit to you, the only way it's going to happen is if we control our children's education, if we control the jobs in our community. And somebody says, what do you mean the jobs in our community? Well, when a UPS truck comes, it's got to be a black driver, it's a totally black community. And people will say, that's racist. Well, it is, but I remember coming along, you couldn't even put in an application to UPS if you were black. I know, I did. When I came along, you couldn't drive a Greyhound bus. I know, because I did. The third driver, black driver in New York, to drive Greyhound buses. I know, when I came along, the only reason why we got jobs driving city buses because it was federal money. After a long fight, 1965, when they were forced to allow us to drive bus. How are you going to talk about freedom and democracy when you have nothing in terms of real acts? And then finally, we must learn to act on our own behalf, which you teach us every week when you say we have to go protest those who claim to work on our behalf. That is the NAACP. That's just one group, but that's a good place to start. And we must carry it on to unions, to churches, to every group that pretends to represent us. And I want to say to everyone who wrote to Lynn Stewart, thank you, because she reads those letters. She will answer you. She's working hard. And this makes the government know that people haven't forgotten her. And the second reason why she's in jail is because on the witness stand, she predicted that the people of Egypt would overthrow the dictator, Hosni Mubarak. And that made the government very angry. Well, it was 5 years after she said it, the people of Egypt overthrew Hosni Mubarak. Any people with the heel of the boot of oppression on their necks will throw it off by any means necessary, as Malcolm told us. The government doesn't like that. So what do? We go along year after year listening to organizations like the NACP, the Urban League, people who have gotten it wrong, the Democratic Party, all of these people who lie to us, all of those preachers who don't talk about real things such as jobs, and we accept that. And so thank you for making this effort of real education. Fight those who fight against you. Support those who support you. Thanks again from all of us out here listening, Reverend Pinckney.
Hey, and thank you, Ralph. Thank you so much. And just let Lynn know that we love her, and we're going to continue to fight for her any way possible. We're going
Wonderful.
To, you know, you can always call on me, because I want to go visit her one day. I don't know whether it be possible, but let's think about that.
Let's get you on that list, Reverend.
Absolutely.
Give the government something else to think about.
Absolutely. Just let her know that I am coming. I'm coming
Wonderful.
To visit her. If they permit me, I will be there.
Wonderful. And thank you so much. And
All
you
right, then.
The
thank
prayer.
You very much, Ralph. Just hang with us. Bobby Worthy, are you there? All right, Bobby Worthy is not there. But we're going to move on, and let's say this to everybody. It's time that we do the things that need to be done. We need to let the people know exactly what's going on. Because we are in the process. I got about 15 NAACP cards that need to be burnt, but I won't burn them this week. But those who are out there, please burn your cards. I'm going to wait until I get a total of 30 or 40, whatever number that I come up with. I will barbecue them, and then I will also put videotape the barbecue of it. But we're going to go to Burn Baby Burn right now, and then when I get back, it's going to be T.I. time. My T.I.s, those of you that's on the land, please do not go anywhere, because when you go somewhere, you mess up. So please just hang on in there until we complete the burning of the NAACP cards. We're going to burn, baby, burn right now. You can do it. You can do it. We'll be back in about 90 seconds.
Run, 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 run
We are talking about a revolution here. We now have a total of 5,107 cars that have been burnt. Last week alone, we burnt 55 memberships, over 300 items, including flats, hats, t-shirts, you name it, we burnt it. We barbecued it. And we videotaped it and sent it around the nation. Matter of fact, around the world. But it's T.I. time. It's T.I. time. It's the target individuals. I know people out there probably don't believe it, that the United States government will target people. Yes, the United States government will target American citizens. Matter of fact, it's over 1 million target individuals here in the United States alone. They got these little drones they sitting out now that can get on your clothes, that they're coming to your house, that can fly over your house. They look like birds. They look like little pieces you can barely see. Matter of fact, they can even poison you and kill you. They can also control your mind. But at this time, I got to bring on my good friend, Rhonda. Rhonda, are you there?
I sure am, Reverend Pinkney. Thank you.
And thank you for coming on.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. Well, a little bit about myself. I'm in public relations right now. I'm a former television reporter. I have a master's degree in journalism and public affairs and undergraduate degrees in psychology and in communication. I'm somebody who comes from a small town and a blue-collar family. My dad worked in a factory, and he also became a janitor then from a high school. But I basically put myself through college and through graduate school and became a TV reporter. So I thought that I was living the American dream.
And you found out the hard way, huh?
I found out the hard way. I definitely have had a lot of success in my life, but then it seems as if, you know, something would always come along and I'd get tripped up a little bit. And then I'd, you know, pick myself back up and, you know, just seemed to be one of those people who had some bad luck. And until about September 2011, and when I really got hit by technology, and after having that experience, I look at my bad luck a little bit differently.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about your bad luck.
Well, before this? I mean, I think that now that I know some terms for, you know, activities that are becoming more commonly known, like organized stalking, I can definitely say that back in 2000, I was a victim of some organized workplace mobbing or stalking, you know, just where people are trying to mess up your performance levels. I think that there are some things in life that have happened to me that maybe I've been thinking that, you know, maybe it was a guardian angel or something like that, and really maybe I've been tricked by some of this technology, because they can do a lot of things with holograms and sounds and noises, and I'm just reviewing my life a little bit differently.
Listen, Juan, if I tell you that there was a million people that have been targeted by our government, what would you say?
Well, I would say that there's a lot of different aspects of government out there. And I would say as a journalist, rule 101 of journalism is follow the money and
yes.
Find out who's making money off of whom. And if more of the media were devoted to that, maybe we would have some more answers. But there are a lot of grants that the United States government gives out that goes to defense contractors, it goes to researchers of universities, and we believe in the targeted community that a lot of those funds have been misused, that technology that there are patents for that goes way back to the 50s and 60s has really been developed behind the backs of the American public, as well as probably many members of Congress, and that there is technology now that is perfected, that we're, you know, there's finally some talk now about drones, of course, after they're already in the skies. And there's talk now about brain mapping, research and technology, and in the community of people who have been hit by technology that we put under a broad category of directed energy weapons, we know the technology has already been perfected.
Wow, that's amazing. And when I use the term microwave, can you kind of like explain a little bit about microwaving to me?
Well, there's a lot of different terms out there: microwave, synthetic telepathy, voice to skull. But basically, what a lot of people are experiencing, and different people in the targeted community experience different things. Some of us are finding patterns. Some people are feeling that their body just feels like it's heating up from the inside out. Now, I haven't had that personal experience. Some people are getting burns on their body. Some people are finding that their hair is falling out. They can get pains in any part of their body. So somebody might go to a doctor and say, I'm getting these pains. I don't know where they're coming from. And the doctors can't figure out exactly why they're feeling these pains. It can be forced speech, whereas you're talking, maybe some people have seen some of those videos of reporters on TV where they started talking in garbled language. We believe that they are victims of this technology. Some people have blurred vision, cramps, can't sleep at night. You might get your body might get jolted and you wake up. Some people say that they feel like electricity going through their body, and it just feels like a stinging all over. There's also voice to skull, which is something that Governor Jesse Ventura explored in an hour-long program. And basically, you can talk on the cell phone, right? You're not seeing anything. Well, there's technology that's been developed that can actually bypass the ear canal, and voices can be heard only by that person that the technology is directed at. So all of these are symptoms that targeted individuals are experiencing.
Wow. What about the chip? A lot of people have told me that they've been chipped. And when I hear that term, I'm trying to figure out how could you be chipped and not know you was chipped until later on.
Well, James Walbert, he has won the first case in a court of law for having an illegal microchip in his body that he did not ask for it to be put in there. If you do Google searches on the internet, you can see that there is technology out there where they put little microchips. They can, doesn't mean in every case, but in some material that dentists use, so you can put it in a tooth. And there's even a commercial that's out from Britain, and it says, wow, that could really enhance your performance in the workplace, because you don't have to use cell phones or anything. You could actually have your employer communicate with you through this little implant in your tooth. So there are a lot of different theories out there. Sometimes some people say maybe they were, drugged. Maybe they were having an alcoholic beverage. They were drugged. They wake up and, things start happening, and somebody might have slipped, somehow got a microchip in them. Some people are saying that now there's technology called, if they're nano, which means very, very small, maybe you could just eat them and ingest them, and they would get into your body. But there are people who are trying to get them removed. I heard a figure this weekend. I really don't know if it's true, but that it could cost up to $65,000 to get one of these microchips removed. But I do know I'm receiving a lot of emails from one man who's in the process of getting a lot of them removed from his body, and he has showed me x-rays where there are circles on the x-rays in different parts of his body where he says those are microchips.
Wow, that's amazing when you think about it. Hey, do you have any knowledge about these little drones that they're using now
I was watching a video today of it looked like little birds flying around, and they have wings, and they have the whole works, and they're small enough to be a bird, and if they say they can land on you and actually poison you and kill you. And they're using them right now in Pakistan and in different countries right now. They don't have any knowledge whether they're being used here in the United States, but I believe if they use them over there, they're using them here.
I think the technology is so sophisticated, as you said, that they could be in things very, very small. The mainstream news media is reporting on a lot of different types of drones. There was something I think that was reported, either CNN or NBC, where they were talking about spy drones that could actually be in backpacks, not that expensive. They can actually be, shot off from backpacks, on your back, and that they can be used to spy on neighbors. The Hill, which is a newspaper that The Hill, Capitol Hill, it's called The Hill, and a lot of staffers and members of Congress read that paper, and they talked about face recognition, that the drones now, they're stalking drones, and they have the ability to recognize your face. So I think that while the conversation is heating up, and there are a lot of state legislators now who are trying to ban drones in their states, who knows who actually has these drones, and some very, very wealthy people may have already purchased some.
Interesting. Listen, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, then I got to move on. Whatever your heart desires, just say it.
I just want to say to everyone that I hope whoever is listening that is not experiencing, gang stalking or organized stalking or this type of electronic harassment, just be aware of the symptoms, because if all of a sudden you start hearing voices, well, you know that the technology exists. Most of us in this community, when we were hit by it, we didn't know what was happening. And then when things calmed down, we'd have to get on the internet. We'd have to figure out what was going on. Thank goodness that Reverend Pinkney has this show to get the information out. There are a lot of support groups out there. And so at least if something does happen and you're starting to feel like, why am I feeling like, why am I getting burns on my hands? You'll know what's happening, and you can at least connect to support groups quicker than a lot of us could. And we really are trying very hard to mobilize as best as we can to get the word out, but it's really hard because we're getting hit by this as we're trying to educate people.
Very good. One of the things I'm planning on doing is setting up support groups for everybody just in case, so they can have someone to lean on in case they're being attacked. Well, listen, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I hope to see you in Baltimore April the 4th. So just hang with us, and let me see where we can go from here, because it's important that we stick together. Rhonda, thank you very much. Ken, are you there?
Thank you.
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinkney.
How you doing today?
Not too bad. I went to a resistance march, and I had my sign. It said, "Don't tread on me," and across the bottom said, "Stop electronic harassment." So one guy comes up to me. He says, so he asked me what that meant. So I told him about the TI. He said, I find that hard to believe. So instead of me calling him a perp, I said, there's a lot of Americans that have been taught one thing and it's another. I said, a lot of them are taught they're on a need-to-know basis, but really what basis they're on, you believe what we tell you about this person or that person, and you do what we tell you. And it goes back all the way back. That's the reason when you ask black people, they've been taught they're Democrats. Well, if you go back to the 1920s, Margaret Sanger, in 1920, funded by the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, started the Planned Parenthood. And her own words were, "We need to get rid of these black weeds." But yet you talk to black people now, and they say, "We're a Democrat." Why are you a Democrat? Well, because the Democrats give you welfare, they give you this, they give you that. No, what they're really giving you is a control factor. They want to control you. So I'm not a Republican either. Don't get me wrong. I'm not for either one of them because they're both evil. George Bush, Dick Cheney, Rumsfeld should have been tried for war crimes. So I'm not just against Obama. I'm against any of us in power not doing their job.
That's right. And you know what, Ken, that's really what we're all about here on this radio program. We're complaining about people not doing what they're supposed to do. If you say you're a civil rights organization, act like one. If you say that you're going to govern, please allow the people to govern. Government is ran by the people and for the people. So anytime that we're not running government, then there's a major problem. But listen, you do have one other thing that I want you to hit on. Talk about those preachers that's getting money from the government and how it got set up. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure, that's set up through the government clergy response team. And if people are going to a big church, you better be asking your pastor if he belongs to that clergy response team, because he takes money from the government, whether he gets a van, whether he gets yard work done around the church, and he's taught to preach a certain way and do certain things. And if we have martial law, he is taught to tell you to go turn your guns in, and he don't call it a FEMA prison camp. They're called family centers, and he will advise you to go to a family center. And then these family centers, they do have 2 20-foot-tall chain-link fences with the barbed wire pointed inside. Now, I don't think that preacher really wants to go to that himself, but he thinks he's on the need to know, so he won't have to go there. He thinks he's got a chair at the table because he's doing the right thing for his parishioners. Well, he's putting you right into a FEMA camp, so that's something you better check out with your pastors if you belong to a big church.
Wow, you know that I have ran across that here in the city of Benton Harbor, where the government is giving people, it's not a lot of money they give them. You know, they give them like $5,000 every other year or $5,000 a year and in certain churches, and they're able to repair the church, keep the church going. And in return, what they do, you have to parade these folks and do these certain situations. And the people don't even know it. They don't even have a clue what's going on. I mean, you know, I know we have talked about this once before, but it is so important that people understand about churches and what they do with this faith-based money, you see, because that has really crippled the black community. I can't say what they've done to other communities because I don't know about other communities. I can only speak about the black community. But, King, you got about 60 seconds to say whatever you want. Say something.
Well, what I got to say to anybody that's listening, if the government's told you that you're on a need to know and you do this to another American citizen, you're wrong, because the government has lied to you just like the Democrats has lied to black people. Oh, we give you something. Yeah, they're giving you mind control is what they're giving you. So anybody that's involved in on this should be searching their soul and getting out of what they're doing, and they should be coming forward and talking about what they've been doing. Even though I don't expect that, because people don't like to admit that they're wrong when they've been bought into a lie, you know, and it's hard for them to understand.
Wow, that's tremendous. You're absolutely correct. You know, last night I had the pleasure of talking to Barbara. She's a TI and she's 90 years old with a sound mind. Can you believe that?
Yes, I do.
And she's supposed to be on the show today, but unfortunately she has not arrived. But I do want to say that this been going on for years, and people don't quite get it. We never get it until it's too late. But listen, I got to move on, Ken. I got to bring on my good friend, Dr. Short. I got to bring him on. But you stay with me. I'm gonna let you have a few words at the end.
Okay.
All right. Dr. Short, are you there?
I'm here.
How you doing today?
Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Stop the Depo Provera NAACP genocide ghost. How you doing?
Get your mouth. All right, my brother, talk to me about it.
I just want to tell you, I'm out here on P Street right now trying to catch Brother Kwame Fosu because he did the program. We did a program at the Michigan Park Christian Church yesterday. That was so powerful that my church and my pastor and everybody there demanded a copy of the program showing how they're doing, outsourcing Tuskegee, experimenting and destroying the lives of thousands and thousands and thousands of women in Africa, showing that there's a continuation from Tuskegee till today, and that organizations like the Legal Defense and Education Fund, the NAACP LDF, we know LDF stands for Let's Don't Get Free, and the National Association for the Advancement of Covered People, that we better know as the National Association for the Abortion of Covered People, take pay to look the other way as our women are destroyed. I know you got the email I sent you last night that my cousin, she's 30 years old, her name is April Bing. She used Depo Provera for exactly 2 years. But as a result of taking it many years ago, she's lost 50% of her mineral bone density. And she only took it 2 years.
Wow.
When the people in my church were crying, the woman who spoke this morning from South Africa who knew about Depo Provera was crying. She confronted one of the people from her embassy that they had to stop it. And I want to let you know, my pastor, Reverend Marvin Owens, has committed the church that they're joining us to picket against the NAACP. My church is coming.
Oh,
that's a great
beautiful
feeling.
That's beautiful.
And I'm taking this before other pastors to say, we're stopping this mess. We don't care if it's a black person getting a paycheck. We don't care if they're in the caucus. We don't care if they're in the city council. Enough is enough. So, you know, Reverend Pinckney, I look forward to our march here in Washington, D.C. on April 3rd, and I'm of the impression that I believe either my church or another church is going to be able to allow us to do our teach-ins aside from us marching. I want to go further to say that there are people, I met some people who will be working with us. Dr. Martin Luther King's niece, Alveda King, as you know, has opened up her network to support us. And I'm hearing from people all over the country who like what we're doing. They like what you're doing. They like Banco, and they care. And I just want to thank you for your leadership. You know, our people are ready for something. Depo Provera and all the other ones, there's a drug called Esure. One dose can kill. And they know it. They are killing our women. These men, you black men, you men of any race, if you don't understand, the first woman that walked the face of this earth was a black woman. If we don't protect her, we won't have a human race, no matter what you think. Any man with any guts inside of him is going to take a stand and fight for the women, fight for the unborn, fight for justice. There is no choice. There's either you're for evil or you're for righteousness. Either you're for women or you're a misogynist, genocidal monster who doesn't even understand that you came out of a woman. Now, all these women who are destroyed, they're coming forward. I'm beginning to hear from them. Depo Provera, Norplant is another product that they used to use as punishment. And now we're coming forward. So I want to thank those people. Spread the word. And Reverend Pinckney, remember, we want folks to start jamming the phones tomorrow.
That's
you
right.
You go online and get the national. I'm not in the house. I was at a wedding.
I do
so
have
I'm
the number. I'll give the number to everybody to make sure that they call. Matter of fact, let me give it now. It's 410-580-5777. That's 410-580-5777. Let's jam those lines up tomorrow. I was on the show yesterday, and they're going to do the same thing tomorrow. We want every single person, and especially my TIs, I want to make sure that you get in this fight because it's crucial. Depo Provera, we must stop them. And they're giving them to people not just here in the United States, but they're giving it to people in Africa, Israel, the black Israel. They use it on them. So listen, tell us a little bit more about Depo Provera.
Depo Provera was patented in 1959. They began doing human experimentation on African-American women in the city of Atlanta in 1967, the year before they killed Dr. King. Initially, they didn't get approval for it. And then in the 70s, just at the time of Roe v. Wade, it came out. And it is made of progesterone. It causes high blood pressure, heart attack, stroke, osteoporosis, diabetes, excessive weight gain. It causes women to get hair in their face, lots of hair, like they're a Muslim imam. It causes women to bleed for months at a time. It causes anemia. It causes breast cancer, cervical cancer, ovarian cancer. And the FDA has known that it is the most deadly drug of its kind in the world, and it's not regulated. And what gets me is 84% of it is used on black women by planned genocide, also called Planned Parenthood. 84%. There's a link to Depo-Provera use and sterility and miscarriages and many other things. They know that it kills. They know it. It's the number one drug that the USAID sends to Africa. And those monsters, Bill and Melinda Gates, in spite of the fact that their own research has found that this thing kills, they've raised almost $3 billion to injecting 100 million women in Africa. And the last thing I'm going to say, Depo-Provera strips the woman's inner womb, strips it, which means a woman is more susceptible to getting HIV, AIDS, and other venereal diseases, as well as making them more likely to infect another person. Everywhere that Depo-Provera is used, here in the United States, in Brazil, and in Africa, where Depo-Provera is used, the rates of AIDS are sky high. They know it's killing us. Yet in Europe, where there are people who are predominantly white, it's not used. It's outlawed in India. It's outlawed, but it's out to kill us. There's a plan, people. We got to stand up. And when you see that someone like Reverend Pinckney and Banco is backing the women, backing the poor, backing the oppressed, he's a man of God. We must stand with him. You must be with us. I don't care if the organization, the living off its past reputation called the NACP, did something good 50 years ago. If they're killing my sisters now, it's off. Whatever they did, I've forgotten about it. I only know what they're doing to us today, and that's killing us for pay.
Wow. You know what? And you are absolutely correct. And I tell you, that is one of the reasons why we are going out to neutralize them, and we're going to demand that Ben Jealous and the executive board resign and allow the membership to elect them. We are sick and tired of these people pimping in our community. And I tell you, and killing our women. So we are going to call tomorrow. So get your pen and pencil out so you can have the number to call. It is crucial that everybody call that's listening to this program today, or if you just so happen to go on the internet and listen to the program, as soon as you hear the word call, the number is 410-580-5777 and tell them to stop killing these black babies. Stop supporting the death of black babies. Tell the NAACP that we're not taking this mess anymore. On that note, I know that you're at a wedding, and I know that you can't stay with us too long, but stay with us as long as you can, and we'll take over there. And I'm going to bring on Mary next, so if you got something else you want to say, you got about 60 seconds to say it.
I want to remind people, don't look at people's color, look at their acts. The woman responsible for setting up millions of women of color to be destroyed. It's a wicked woman we call the Dragon Woman of Depo-Provera, Karen Boykin Towns, the niece of Congressman Towns from New York. If you can call that office, you should tell her father-in-law, shame on you. Shame on you, sister. God's going to punish you for this.
Amen.
Do something. Speak up. If you know someone, warn everybody not to take this. Ask the young woman if you see them in the streets. The word must go out. Save our women. Save them.
That's it. And you know one thing? You can tell if you use it is because you get one shot every 3 months. That's 4 shots a year. So if anybody who's receiving one shot every 3 months, most likely it's that Depo-Provera. Oh, good. Randy?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, just stick with us. Don't leave us. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney, and good evening to you and your radio audience.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say regarding the Depo-Provera that according to Wikipedia, it was not approved by FDA for contraceptive use until October 29, 1992. It was not approved in the 70s. It was approved in 92. They started using Tennessee teenage girls to test Depo-Provera in 69 or 70. And it was not approved by the FDA until 1992. So they pretended like they were testing it on third world country women. But truthfully, they tested it on teenagers in rural black communities. I just wanted to get that straight about what day it was approved. I also want to say, Reverend Pinckney, that we have you know, the picket going on April 3rd in Washington and April 4th in Baltimore against the NAACP for being a sellout organization. But, you know, we don't do much to tell people why they are being picketed. So I just have a few examples real quickly to give you. Everybody might remember Kenneth McDade. He's the young man who was brutally shot by a police officer in Pasadena, California, after a man said that he had been robbed. A man lied and said, I think he lied. Anyway, he called in 911 and said two black young men had robbed him. And later on, police went chasing these young men down the street, and one police shot Kenneth McDade. He was a young college student. And several months later, the NAACP gave the chief of police an award. It says the Pasadena NAACP has also decided to honor the chief of police as civil rights defendant in the McDade case. Now, he's a defendant in the McDade case, and he was getting honored a few months after McDade was shot. Now, McDade's family went on a protest, and they protested the NAACP awards dinner there in Pasadena that they gave for the chief of police who was being held responsible for the murder of a young black child. He was actually, I'm calling him a child, but he was actually a young man. He was a freshman in college. He hadn't stolen anything, and they just killed him. And then NAACP gave the police chief in that case an awards dinner. So that's one case. The second case I want to make you aware of, just telling you some of the reasons why our people's pastor is leading a protest against the NAACP. I just want to give you some reasons why. Now, the other case is a Memphis case. You know, Memphis, Tennessee is where my brother was secretly arrested and kept 18 days while police denied having him. And then he got killed. And they will not even tell us how he died or why they had him arrested. No paperwork, nothing from the Memphis Shelby County Jail or from the United States Department of Justice. Now, what's happening now is that the KKK is planning a rally in Memphis. They're going to rally in Memphis. So Memphis will get to host a KKK rally. And I tell you, I believe that a lot of black people in Memphis would be out there under those hoods, but they're going to have to rally without their hoods. So the black KKK members in Memphis will not get to be in the rally. However, the situation is that the head of the NAACP in Memphis has met with the Sons of Confederate Veterans, and his name is Norman. And he met with the Sons of Confederate Veterans, and they decided to get together and do something about the KKK. They decided to ignore them. They shook hands on live TV. That's Keith Norman. He's also a paid consultant to the Memphis Police Department, and that's why the NAACP said nothing about the 13 people who've been killed by Memphis police officers since January 2012. That's right. The head of the NAACP in Memphis, Tennessee, is himself paid by the Memphis police officers, and he works for the police department, and he's a consultant. So, see, they put the NAACP members their head members. They put them on a consulting position, and then they get regular checks from police departments. And when the police kill people in Memphis and other towns, you've heard about Pasadena, and now you've heard about Memphis, then they don't say anything about those deaths. You understand? So these are two reasons why Reverend Pinckney is leading people to protest the NAACP and actually challenge them to do as Reverend King challenged America to do, and that is to just be what you said on paper. Just be your mission statement. Do your mission statement and be what you said you were going to be in your mission statement. That's the simple request. And also I want to let you know that about that KKK rally in Memphis, there's going to be an anti-rally, and that will be sponsored by the Ida B. Wells Coalition Against Brutality, and they're going to have an anti-rally the same day. The KKK is upset because Memphis has renamed a park that had been named Forest Park, and it's named after the gentleman who was the first Grand Dragon of the KKK. He and his men during the Civil War were supposedly responsible for over 100 black deaths. And so they named the park after him in Memphis. And now that park is to be renamed Health and Sciences Park, and the KKK is holding a rally to protest that renaming. Also, I want to say that Christians are speaking up against modern-day, 21st century problems that we have. We have problems with our highest officials wanting to pretty much do away with the Bill of Rights, it seems, because we have on the table proposals to intern people in concentration camps without any trials and without any criminal charges or any opportunity for defense. We also have people who want to or who have already assassinated American citizens, and of course they were brown, assassinated American citizens abroad without any due process of law. And we also have now drones over our heads right here in America. Now, I'm glad to report that Jimmy Carter wrote an op-ed against the America's human rights abuses, and it's called America's Shameful Human Rights Record. That's in the New York Times. You can Google it and see what Jimmy Carter, former President Jimmy Carter, has to say about America's shameful human rights record. But the good news is that we just had this week the black churches condemned President Obama's drone policy as a murder. Yes, the black churches have, Reverend Pinckney, they have stepped up. Praise God. That is the National Black Church Initiative, NBCI, denounced President Obama's right to order extrajudicial assassinations of persons who were denied any opportunity to face their accusers and defend themselves. Now, NBCI is a faith-based coalition of 34,000 churches. Praise God for each one of you ministers. And it's comprised of 15 denominations and 15.7 million African Americans. Now, I praise God for that because, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 31:8-9 that we are to stand for the oppressed. We are to speak for them, and we are to condemn actions that would harm oppressed people. And I guarantee you, nobody but the downtrodden and oppressed are intended to go to those camps. Nobody but the downtrodden and oppressed. And also, he said, and all those who are condemned to death. So we are told by God the Father that we are to speak up for such persons. And I am so glad that the black churches are doing that. And,
amen. It's about time they do something. And
it
even
is.
That, they don't, and it's not going to cost them no money, so they don't care. But the point is, we're just happy that at least they said something, they opened their mouth. And so to me, that's very, very, very important. So we'll see how that turned out. But listen, you got about 60 seconds. Say whatever you want, and then let's move on.
All right. Well, I urge everyone to look online for Black Churches Condemn Obama Administration's Drone Policy as Murder and read what Reverend Anthony Evans has to say. He says, where are you, Al Sharpton? Where are you, Jesse Jackson? Where are you, Ben Jealous? Where are you, John Lewis? Where are you, members of the Black Caucus? Where are you, Catholic bishops? Where are you, American Way? Where are you, Reverend Jim Wallace? Where are you, Pastor T.D. Jakes? Where are you, Pastor Cleflo Dollar? Where are you, Joseph Lowry? Where are you, Southern Baptist? Where are you, Pastor Joel Osteen? Where are you, Dean Alton Pollard? If the church does not speak against the immoral policy, we will lose our moral voice, our soul, and our right to represent and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
All right. Thank you so much. I think that was tremendous. We do want to know where is Al Sharpton, where is Jesse Jackson, and where is Ben Jealous, the president of the NAACP, who we are requesting that he resign immediately.
Resign, Ben Jealous. Resign, woman abuser.
That's right, because he abused you. We got evidence to support that. So that's important. But listen, I got to move on, but I will talk to you soon because I want to bring on my good friend, Chili Moose. I think he has something that he needs to tell us in reference to an incident that happened in Terre Haute, Indiana. I call him Chili Moose from coast to coast. Chili Moose, are you there? Chili Moose, are you there? Chili Moose, are you there? Chili Moose is not there. Let's go to Roz. Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm blessed to be here this Sunday with you. The program's always fantastic. I stand with you. We need to unite, whatever color we are, to make a change for our freedom, for the laws to be just and fair and equal for all.
Talk to me, Roz. What's happening with you?
Well, what's happening with me is I haven't really told too many people is that my Supreme Court case, they denied it. The injustice, the corruption, the fraud of Judge Gerald Cohn, who made a medical diagnosis and changed all the facts so I looked like the worst teacher in the world. He did a character assassination on me. Does that sound familiar to anybody in the audience?
That sounds familiar to me.
Yes, exactly.
And that's exactly what they do.
Exactly. They did not want to pay me.
So they would do anything not to give you that money.
Exactly. They don't care if I die here, like Charles Smith, that wonderful human being, died because they didn't give him the proper medical care or they didn't pay him at all, as the law said. They lied. So he had different doctors and a different judge. Now, the doctor, Dr. John Stahlberg, should have his license revoked. He should be disbarred. He misstated a few misstatements. As we said, at our age, we call them lies, one lie after another. He took a little memo, and he made it into a medical report, and then he made it into more medical reports. And then he said that I needed to have my benefits denied. He said he lost all his records. Somebody stole his computer. Convenient, isn't that? He didn't have all the records, but yet he was gracious enough to write a report for $16,770, $700 a page, mind you, and under oath he stated that he didn't have the medical evidence to support his medical diagnosis.
Listen, why don't you tell the audience a little bit how all this came about in California?
Okay. I was a teacher for LAUSD. That school district needs to be taken down. My students sprayed me and my class in my face with the toxic chemicals from a fire extinguisher. There were 40 students in my classroom. The school district never called the paramedics. The principal, Mrs. Charnas, did not do that. They did not clean up the room from the toxic chemicals because it needs to be cleaned up in a certain way to get rid of them. So 180 students sat in toxic chemicals for months. I have documented physical injuries, and I received an act of violence from the school district. My case was admitted in 2002. It's hard to talk. I have toxic fibromyalgia. I have nodules on my lungs. My skin was burning. I had terrible chest pains. I'm exhausted all the time. It's hard to remember, hard to sleep, hard to swallow. It's terrible what I've had to go through. And they've decided they don't want to pay me. And over the last 12 years, they've said the most outrageous, unconscionable things about me so they don't have to pay me. But I'm praising the Lord because there's an investigator investigating it. So if everybody would pray, your prayers are so wonderful. Thank you. And also, I was in Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis's praise outreach. On Tuesday night, I got up and gave my testimony. And who should be in the audience was a lawyer that is now helping me and looking into the fraud and corruption that Judge Cohen and Dr. Stauber conspired together so I would not get my money. And the law 1871.4, anybody out there from California, if they say things that lower your rating that are not true, this is called fraud, and it is against the law.
And you know what, thing, Rod? I believe that you're going to win this case at the end. I can see things that's happening. The wheels are turning, but we just have to be persistent and continue with what we're doing. Listen, I'm going to give you 2 minutes to say what you want. Then I got to bring on my good friend from Ann Arbor. So you go right ahead and say whatever you want.
Okay, I am standing with all of you. I'm praying for all of you, whatever you're going through. Please look to the Lord. I don't want anybody to hurt themselves or anyone. Call Reverend Pinkney. Pray. Get together with people. I'm certain this Dorner here, I'm certain they, at the police department, they did all kinds of terrible things in his case. So we don't want it to go that far. So we're here for all of you. Anybody who needs me with workers' comp in California, I'm here. But the Lord, God is with us. God loves all of you no matter what color you are. He's standing with you. We are going to unite. This Depo Provera is terrible. The TI that's going on is terrible. Our country's in the biggest mess I have ever seen. This is a chance for all of us to be informed and stand together and save America and save ourselves. But the only way is God's way, is with his love and united together.
Amen. Way to go, Roz. That is really beautiful. And, you know, we are praying for you, Roz. And we're hoping that you continue to fight and just stay strong. And whatever we can do, we will do. You got my word on it.
Thank you. And you are so wonderful for giving me a voice. I mean, you are a gift from God. And just like God was right there at Marilyn and Billy's praise outreach, and this woman says, oh, George will help you. He's a lawyer. That's God.
Absolutely.
And I'm believing it's going to get bigger, my case.
Oh, absolutely. I believe that, too. I believe you're going to win at the end. You just have to keep fighting.
Right. I am going to win, and I won because I met you and Ralph and Mary and all the wonderful people that have come forward to help me at different times from your audience. It's so beautiful. It is so incredible.
Hey, this is just the beginning.
Just the beginning, and no one out there give up. We don't want anybody to give up.
That's right. We don't want no quitters.
No quitters. We're standing with you. We want to be strong like Moses. He had to have his arms held up. Well, we're holding up your arms to go through whatever you're going through.
Hey, that's beautiful. Listen, spread the word for me about the NAACP in Washington and in Baltimore that where we were going to be protesting. Let people know that you might know some people that's in Baltimore or Washington, and we'll make sure that they be there. Can you do that for me?
I definitely will. I sent out an email yesterday, and I'll keep sending them out.
Hey, appreciate you. I got to move on. Talk
okay,
to you.
Love you all.
All right now.
Okay. Bye.
Livia, are you there?
Yes, I'm looking at the BH Banco website. That's BH Benton Harbor, BHBANCO.org. And there are some topics here which I'd like some guidance on. One is, of course, about the big demonstration in the East Coast. There'll be two of them. Another one is about the Benton Harbor schools being in shambles. Another one is about when you were speaking out west. So, want to pick from one of those three?
Yeah, let's do the NAACP one first, because I think is that the one with the where I'm barbecuing the 55 memberships and 300 pieces and items of the NAACP? Is that the one you're referring to?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever your heart desires, you can read whatever you want.
Mass demonstrations in Washington and Baltimore. The leadership of the NAACP has betrayed the black community by sacrificing present and future development. The organization accepts corporate donations and allows the corporations to control the black population. When we look at the NAACP today, we see an organization in partnership with corporations and other immoral agencies, all which contribute to the demise of black America. It's evident that the NAACP has lost its way. When a person or an organization will do anything for money, they have simply become a prostitute. The NAACP is a prostitute for corporations and a pimp in our communities. The Bible says, and this is Mark 8:36-37, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul?" The continued betrayals of the NAACP's leadership have driven disheartened members to burn over 5,000 membership cards. The national leadership is out of touch with black America, to put it mildly. We see the NAACP as having betrayed and sold out our community for personal gain. The total sellout to corporations and to big money interests renders the organization corrupt from the top to the bottom. And I believe it has never been concerned with black people's problems, but has functioned as a tool to keep black people in line. The NAACP has been radicalized and is worthless. The NAACP claims to represent our interests, but they've failed. They will continue to fail us unless people take a stand. They've climbed in bed with the Leadership Council on Civil Rights, who share neither commitment to nor the values of our community. A race hustler is David Duke in black skin, a pimp and a profiteer. The NAACP has become a symbol for all that has gone wrong in the black community. We're going to be protesting the NAACP office in Washington on April 3rd. Put that on your calendars, everyone. April 3rd, and the Baltimore National Headquarters on April 4th. For more information, contact me, Reverend Edward Pinckney. We stand today as activists and represent a call on the land to demand an end to the corrupt and wicked leadership in black American life, and especially the NAACP. To all of like mind, join us in our moral crusade to save our people and the nation from divine judgment. Reverend Edward Pinckney. And then you can get a lot of information, like Pinckney's phone number and email and stuff. So just go to bhbanco.org. That's it.
That's good. That's real. That's real good, Libby. Let me ask you this. Is there anything else on there?
You know, this website is so packed with information, not only about Benton Harbor, but about national and international issues, and it's just got a ton of good writing on here and information from you and a lot of other people. I just think people should go to the website.
Yeah, and just read there. Also, they got a nice picture of me burning those NAACP cards on there. Is that correct?
Well, that's true. That's right near what I just read. There's an actual YouTube called Burn Baby Burn, and this is let's see, how long is this? 9 minutes and 24 seconds. And this is Reverend Pinckney burning NAACP paraphernalia and membership cards.
Absolutely. Those of you who actually want to see the actual burning or want to know whether we actually burning these cards, go to bhbango.org. You'll see a picture of me burning NAACP membership cards, plaques, hats, T-shirts, you name it, I'm burning. I'm barbecuing it. That's what I would say. So that is really, really tremendous. So Libby, you got about 60 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on.
I just say if there's any way that anybody in the country or the world can come to these protests in April in Baltimore and Washington, it's so important because the NAACP, like, you know, there are a lot of anti-war organizations in the United States. They claim to be anti-war, but they won't really tell the truth about what's going on with our foreign policy. Well, this is the same kind of thing, sort of. It's called gatekeeping. And it's when organizations basically of all kinds, you know, anti-war, peace organizations, NAACP, other civil rights organizations, it's when they're taking money from corporations and then they're beholden to the corporations, so they're not going to speak the truth. But they have so many people fooled. There are so many people that believe what these organizations say. But these organizations are not coming out with the bottom line truth of what is actually going on. So the NAACP has been an organization that, you know, most people have always believed in, that it's going to stand up for civil rights. And guess what? It doesn't.
Absolutely. So, in fact, it can no longer be classified as a civil rights organization. And you can, all you have to do is check their records. And in the last 50 years, they have did exactly nothing. But we, black folks, have given them a free pass. Also, white folks have given them a free pass. So now it's time to say, no, enough is enough to the NAACP. Also, don't forget about Al Sharpton, and don't forget about Jesse Jackson. Right now, he's weeping for his son. Definitely going to pray for his son. But unfortunately, he's in that group. So we must continue to let them, to hold them accountable for their action and their inaction. So that's why you have to be at the protest April 3rd in Washington, D.C., and that's at 1156 15th Street, and also in Baltimore, Maryland, 4805 Mount Hope Drive, 10 a.m., the 3rd and the 4th. Be there. Be there. Be there. Thank you very much, Libby.
Thank you.
All right. Chili Mose, did you want to say a few words?
How you doing, Brother Pinckney?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
All right. I'll just call listening in to your great show, and always impressed with a man of your stature. And so just checking you out. I know you probably, did you get the information that I emailed you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you know, the young man last weekend, a college student at Indiana State University in my hometown in Terre Haute, Brother Brandon Pettiford, was at a party, and he's mixed race. One parent is black, one parent is white, and he went to a party with white students there and with a young Caucasian lady, a college student, and, you know, they got partying just like college students do, and then people got upset with him for dancing with white girls, which, you know, in America, you can dance with whoever you want to dance with, from what I understand. And so he got jumped on and beat up. And then she was trying to take him to the hospital, and they ran him off the road and was beating him up again. And so, you know, it's just a thing that today, you know, as people know, they might not know, but Chili Mose is leading an international Stop the Violence campaign. And I'm from Terre Haute, Indiana. And today I got ministers around the world preaching Stop the Violence. And it just so happens that a week ago, as we lead this movement around the world, there's a hate crime in my hometown. And there's no legislation in the state of Indiana against hate crimes. And so as of today, Pastor Arnick Schaus is preaching Stop the Violence, and the mayor and all these people are at the church today. And he blew up a big picture of this young man and put it in front of his pulpit as he preached the sermon Stop the Violence. And so, you know, as we go forward, there's just so many things that we have to do as a people to change the mindset of humanity. In 2013, it shouldn't be like 1813. And so we must break down these barriers, Reverend Pickney. You know what we're up against out here, but we know we have God with us, and you being a man of God and a man of what's right, we must continue to fight for our rights, wherever it may be, in any city, any state, or any country. And that's what this is about. The International Stop the Violence campaign is about two things: stop the violence and fight for your rights, both inspired by one of the greatest Americans this country's ever produced, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who stood for nonviolence but died for people's rights. So that's really basically all I have to say. I just called in to listen to your show, but I'm glad to get this word out. And you can go to the Indianapolis Star and just put in his name, Brandon Pettiford, hate crime, and get the information. And I'll be following up with you, great man of God, and let you know how this goes. And we'll move forward on it. And I want every newspaper, every black newspaper, to put this. And I sent out a lot of emails today to put it on the front page of the newspaper to let this know that this is 2013. In my hometown of Terre Haute, Indiana, it shouldn't be. And so it should be on every newspaper to let the world know that these things are still happening in 2013, my brother. And that's basically all I have to say. I just wanted to listen into your great show, and God bless you, man, as you move forward and continue to fight for your rights.
That's right. And you know one thing, Chili Mose, from coast to coast, I have to say that it was a privilege and an honor to actually meet you. Especially a man of your stature who willing to go beyond the call of duty. Because we don't get too many people that willing to go beyond the call of duty, and you have done exactly that. And I like to give much respect and much love for you.
Well, you know, I'm in love with love.
Yeah.
And so when you're in love with love, there's only two emotions, fear and love. And when people approach you with fear, any negative emotion is fear. If you respond in a way of love, it will stop them in their tracks.
Yes.
And so we must change the mindset of humanity. And there are some great things that's going to happen in April. I know you got some things happening, and we have some things happening also along the same day on April the 4th. There's going to be a candlelight prayer vigil with ministers around the world as we remember the assassination of Dr. King and what that stood for, how we must remember who this great man was. And between the 4th and 8th, there's going to be some things happening in Denver that we'll talk about further down the road. But I just called in to listen to my main man, Reverend Pickney. Man, you know, I've been following you for years. Even though before you knew me, I knew you.
Mm.
And I've been following you for 7-8 years on KPFK out here and following your journey. And I've always had a lot of love and respect for you, brother. I've been, you're a man that I, you know, in this spiritual journey I've been on, I've met a lot of great people. And you're at the top of the list.
Hey, very. I appreciate that, my brother. I appreciate that.
Much love to you, man. You go ahead and continue on with your show, and we'll be talking, you know, the next day or two. But I was just calling and listening in, and God bless you, and I'll keep you informed of what's going on in Terre Haute, Indiana, in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And on 13th Street, you know, I named my record company 13th Street Records off the street that I grew up on.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're going to do everything within our power to get the word out. And if we have to go down there, which is not far from my home, Terre Haute, Indiana, I think it's maybe 100-something miles or so, but it's close enough for us to get there.
Well, I know that the earth is your playground.
That's right. That's right. When I go wherever I need to be, that's where I go.
Yeah, I'm not Chili Mose. Reverend Pickney's Chili Mose. The people are Chili Mose.
From coast to coast. All right, my brother. All right, look, I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, my brother. Peace.
God bless you. Listen, right now, I want to talk about a young lady from Florida who was a victim of the NAACP. I don't know whether she want to come on and say a few words, but it's important that people understand how the NAACP operates. This young lady was president of the Florida chapter of the NAACP, and the state chapter tried to overthrow her with their friend, and they had the election. She won the election. The state threw that election out and decided that they was going to run the election themselves. She won that election. And now the lady who she defeated attempted to run her over with an automobile. Absolutely tried to kill her. Yet, the NAACP sent a lawyer in to represent this lady who tried to assault, who committed a crime against another member of the NAACP to make sure that this lady does not go to jail. And you people out there talking about y'all love the NAACP. Basically, it sounds like to me they're nothing but a bunch of criminals. And we need to let them know that we're not going to take this mess no more. Listen, what I want to do, I want to bring on Bernice just for a few minutes, a few seconds. Bernice, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Ms. Presley.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing excellent and getting better.
Hey, you sound so much better, I tell you. Hey, we're moving on. Matter of fact, I was on the radio yesterday with some people from Minnesota who also has an issue with the NAACP. And they want to join in with the lawsuit, the class action lawsuit. But we'd like to tell them that, you know, we're serious about what we're doing. We don't want nobody who want to join and just drop out. So I tell them they better think about it, because once we start, we're going ahead with it. So, Miss Presley, how are you doing today?
How am I really doing?
Yes, talk to me.
Well, you know, I'm still disturbed about what happened, Reverend Pinckney, because what they're trying to do is assassinate my character. And I have been put in an embarrassing situation because so many news articles have been headlined on the paper concerning me, and I did not do those articles, but I did put one in the I did write something in a newspaper this month,
mm-hmm.
trying to explain to the different ones in the community, the ones who were concerned about what was happening, because they cannot find any, you know, they're really confused in the action of the state and the national have really torn up our town.
Mm.
Because, you know, I'm well liked in this community. I have good character and everything. And it seems that the ones who the state and the national are using, those are people who don't have good character.
Mm.
So we're really trying to understand what is wrong with this madness. Why are they trying to destroy this town? It's why are they doing that? So, you know, every now and then I have good days and then I have bad days because I said, why are they doing that? I said, NAACP was not found on the philosophy that they're dealing with now.
Absolutely.
And I think it's just a few self-centered, you know, ill-feeling people that's making NAACP a dirty organization. So I would be willing to do represent in any way, because I didn't do anything wrong. I was elected twice as president, and I guess I'm not the one that they wanted. And I requested a hearing as soon as Ben Jealous sent the letter to me, stripping me of my civilized membership. As soon as I got that letter, I requested an immediate hearing. That was January the 5th. And as of now, this National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, that organization has not responded. They have not even said, well, I received the letter. You have this hearing on this particular day. Because they have not allowed me due process. They heard, I guess, the lady who tried to run me over, they got her side of it, and they acted immediately.
That was because that was her friend who's the state president isn't that correct? Her friend is the state president who engineered this whole thing.
That's right, and the state president is a part of the national board.
Right.
Also the chairman of the national board and the co-chairman of the national board, they're all from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
They're all from Florida, yes. So I just, you know, we're trying to figure out why. So I appreciate what you're doing. I really, But as soon as if they give a hearing to me, which it seems as if they are not going to give a hearing to me, you know, and because I need to tell them, I need to tell them my side. And
right.
What they did, Reverend Pinckney, they immediately put a lady in the presidency. Now, when they came into Florida and held that election on December 15th, the
mm-hmm.
state and the national, the lady who is now in the presidency was not even at that election. She was not even voted in. But they grabbed her and put her immediately in the president's spot. They did that. So they're acting, they're rushing. And I don't know. I'm just confused.
Miss Presley, here's what I'm thinking. I think we have to make them either put up or shut up. They already think that you have no recourse. And I think that's where they're hidden. See, most time black people let things go. You know, all across this country, there's probably 80 to 90, even 100 former presidents that they have did in the same identical way that they have done you. And I tell you, we're with a group that actually want to do something. And I believe that this is the opportunity to correct the NAACP. That's what I'm going to do. In your case, I know there's no way possible for them to suspend your membership. I know the story. Everybody out there don't know the whole story, but I do. And I believe that what they did to you was wrong. And I think that you have a recourse. And I think that we should take them in the court, put them on the stand, and make them say what they're supposed to do. And I believe that we can do this. But we have to stay focused and don't get sidetracked. Listen, you need to get your paperwork in as soon as possible so we can turn it over to the lawyer.
Okay, now what? Well, my husband did say something about paperwork. What did you want me to
just write down what happened?
Just what? I will be glad to do it because I can.
You do it as soon as possible? Because on Thursday when we talk with the lawyer, we want to make sure that everybody has their paperwork in, and then he can review it, and then we can take it to the next level.
Okay, now I should fax it to you.
Or email it to me. Either way.
Okay, well, I'll be glad to do that. You want me to have it before Thursday?
Before, I would like to have it by Tuesday if we can.
Tuesday, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. Well, I'll work on it tonight.
All right,
you
work on
just
it and get it done. I had the opportunity to talk to your husband. You see, he's such a gentleman. He was so kind that I didn't know what to do. He almost brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah, that's Glenn Hill, all right.
That's right.
Yeah.
He was so kind, and we had a beautiful conversation.
Well, thank you so much. Well, I will get that information to you, the timeline, because I have, you know, it's just like it happened yesterday. I have everything memorized. All I do is just write it down because,
I
appreciate it.
And the most important part is the woman that tried to run you over.
Yes.
That is crucial.
She has, and Reverend Payton, she has a long criminal record.
We're going to make sure that we pin their ears back. Listen, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever you want, and I got to move on.
Okay, I appreciate you. I really appreciate you, Reverend Pinckney, and I appreciate what you're doing for all of us. And I wish that I could do something to let you know how much the whole world appreciate you. And I thank my daughter from Tampa who connected us. I really do. Reverend Pinckney, you are truly someone special. You're an outstanding dignitary in the world, in the religious world, and you're a true Christian because you are concerned for your neighbors, and we are all your neighbors. And thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, and you have a beautiful week.
Thank you.
All right, now, let me go to my T.I. Bob, are you there? Barbara? 5166.
Yes, uh-huh.
Is that you, Barbara?
Hello?
How you doing? Uh-oh, what's wrong with your phone?
Hello?
Yes, Barbara, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Hi, Reverend Pinckney.
How you doing today?
Just fine. I have a lot of information, so I'll rattle on, all right?
Yes.
I was watching a DVD called Mind Control. It's by Nick Begish.
Uh-huh.
He's from Alaska.
Yes.
His website is www.earthpulse.com. And these machines, there's so much to tell. I don't know how fast I can go and how much I can get in. But our military interest peaked in the Korean conflict. And then we captured the LIDA, L-I-D-A, machine. It's a Russian machine. And it was used to interrogate prisoners of war during the Vietnam War. And what happens is this machine in particular causes behavioral changes, and they were made in our military personnel and many others, causing psychological transformations, affecting our emotions. Our military then really became interested in manipulating our emotions. 1960, there was lots of interest in electronically controlling our brains. Then, of course, the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, and the United States Congress all got interested in this. And in 1975, there was a report written to the president about the activities, CIA activities within the United States. But these activities were supposed to be done offshore, not in the United States. So a lot of surveillance, and then came along MKUltra. And MKUltra is to take innocent people and turn them into assassins. The MK Ultra controversy would take individuals and use chemical means, LSD, mind-altering drugs to alter behavior. This abuse was spoken about also in this report, and thousands of military personnel were victims, and the government was never held responsible for this until one person committed suicide. And only that one person the government made right with that. But at the same time, Canada was engaged in this kind of this type of thing too. And Jose Delgado wrote a book called Physical Control of the Mind. In there, there's a chapter on mapping the brain and implanting electrodes into the brain, which will cause a certain effect. Now, he did this between 1969 and the mid-1980s, and he used primates, he used bulls, and he even used humans, stimulating the brain using implants on primates, bulls. He discovered he needed no physical contact with our brain. He could just oscillate energy into our brain, causing tremendous emotional changes, behavioral changes. 1985, he found he could create changes in human brain with the human brain chemistry by oscillating energy into the brain. For an example, a lethargic, passive person using this particular machine, that person would become highly aggressive and an agitated person. It was like flipping on and off a light switch. And there's another magazine or a book called The Economist, The Future of Mind Control, Artificially Manipulating the Human Brain. This is where we are now. For instance, there's another book too called Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technological Era, and that's by Brzezinski. Impairs, now here, this is what's happening right now. I just read this on the internet, where they can impair huge regions of people's brain functioning. This technology is here today. On the internet, it talks about driving the people who live in the suburbs into the cities by mind control. Oscillating energy from the sky, which is what we're experiencing right now, the satellites, to the earth, to each individual, to alter each one's behavior, affecting brain human behavior. And he talked about the brain waves, which a lot of this I didn't understand. Brain wave activity in the brain, the alpha waves, the delta state, theta state, beta state. Beta is your thinking and learning state. But if you have high beta waves, that's an agitation state, which is a lot of our children, they give them Ritalin, because they're in high beta wave, And so what they're doing now is they're using these pulsating radio frequency signals, these pulsating electromagnetic fields, oscillating light and sound. A lot of this we can't even detect. There are people, most of us are walking around, we don't even know this is happening to us, unless you're implanted. We don't perceive, as human beings, these low-frequency sounds. Yet these machines are actually changing our brain waves, our brain, our behavior, our emotions. A lot of us are walking around crying. We don't know why. We don't know why we're so highly agitated. We don't know why we just picked a fight with our husband or our wife. It's because of what they're using on us, especially if they're low-frequency sounds. Our ears do not pick up those sounds. One thing that was really effective was the biofeedback. It was used in a good way to enhance brain activity and functioning. It focused on learning, and 80% of the children were taken off of Ritalin because of biofeedback. They were taught how to relax and how to slow down. And that was a good thing of all this electromagnetic stuff, but it took 20 years for our government to introduce it to the public educational system. Instead, they'd rather give our children Ritalin. But again, 80% of those children were off of Ritalin because of biofeedback. So that was a plus in this technological era. But the other thing was, in Japan, there were 700 children watching TV that were taken to the emergency room because of epileptic seizures. Why? Because the lights that were emitting from the television were supposed to be harmless, coming from the TV, but they were flickering, pulsating lights coming from the TV, which caused these children in Japan to be rushed to the emergency room because of epileptic seizure.
Wow, that's tremendous. Listen, I got it. You got about 90 seconds, so say whatever you wish. And I think your presentation was tremendous, but you got 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know if I could do it. Okay. Well, bring us up to date. Microwave transmitters into the crowds, they're producing heat energy on the surface of our skin, sometimes 130-degree temperature on our skin, and it causes us, it's inhumane, and it causes us, again, to have, it modifies our human behavior. There's so much, Reverend Pinkney, but I'm going to just wrap it up. I'd like to bring you up to date, but I don't have that time.
The show is almost over, and we got so many people that's trying to get in. Unfortunately, we had an overcrowded board, and I tell you what, I'll give you some time next week, but you go ahead and summarize that up for me.
Okay, I just want to say one more thing, too. This is very important. The detectors that they're using when we go through these detectors at airports to board our plane, they're not only looking to see what you got on your person, whether you got weapons, they're looking to see high degrees of agitation or fear within you. And then you become a person of interest. So I'll stop there.
That is excellent. Barb, I tell you what, next Sunday I'll get you on early so you can, how much time do you normally need to read that?
I don't know how much that took, but I want to bring us up to date with a lot of these machines.
Okay, but next week I want you to come on, and I'm gonna give you as much time as you need.
All right, thank you, Reverend.
And listen, you take care of yourself, and I'm hoping that you can spread the word about everybody being in Baltimore and Washington for April the 3rd and 4th for me. Can you do that for me?
Sure, I will. Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Reverend.
On that note, I'm going to bring that back, Ralph. Ralph Point, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney, and I would like to conclude with, any organization, religious or secular, that does not fight oppression is repulsive. And any organization, secular or religious, that supports governments or organizations that oppress others are equally repulsive. We must fight both of these tendencies and do justice. Thank you again, Reverend.
And Ralph, I just want to just remind you one more time to make sure you let Lynn know that we love her, and we're going to continue to fight.
And next week I'm going to issue a paper to support Lynn, but I'm asking people to sign on.
All right, but send it, can you send it to me as an attachment so I can get people here to sign?
Pardon?
Send it to me as an attachment and I can get people to sign.
I certainly will. I certainly will, Reverend. Thank you so much.
All right, take care of yourself.
You're up.
All right. Mary, you got about 60 seconds to say whatever you want.
Well, Reverend Pinckney, I think you know what that is. I want to thank you again for having me on. I'm a targeted individual. I want to thank you for having all of these people on and giving them a voice. And you do that because you spend your own personal time, your own personal money on this broadcast and going from here to there and speaking on behalf of the American people, and that includes blacks, whites, Asians, it includes Native Americans, it includes all of us. And I thank you for being the leader that you are, sir. And I ask everyone, please, please, do whatever you can to support Reverend Pinckney. Please send $5, $10 to Banco, B-A-N-C-O, that is banco.org, and he will appreciate it, whatever it is. Because, you know, you spend money for the NAACP, for their banquets and their dinners. You spend money in church. Many of your preachers are in our clergy response teams to sell you out and tell you to go to the camp, go to concentration camps when the time comes. Reverend Pinckney is the people's pastor, and I ask him now, Reverend Pinckney, would you please give your mailing address so that people will know where to send a donation? Churches who are not as active as you are for human and civil rights in the tradition of Martin Luther King Jr., they should send you a significant donation. They could do that. Individuals may not be able to do as much as a big church could do, but they could send something, and I'm sure everyone wants to, and I want to thank all of our listeners in advance. Please give your address, sir.
Absolutely. It's Banco, B-A-N-C-O. That's B-A-N-C-O. Address, 1940 Union, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. B-A-N-C-O, 1940 Union, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. And listen, I want to thank everybody. We have ran out of time. We don't have any more time, but I want to thank everybody for listening. You have made this program the number one program on Blog Talk Radio, and that has really been a push. Awards will be given out in reference to it. I've been nominated for several awards already, and I just want to thank everybody. And also, Mary, I need Yvonne Hickman's phone number. If you can send that to me or get it to me some kind of way, that would be good. And on that note, we have just ran time. And listen, everybody, just want to say good night to everybody. And I will talk to you next week, same time, same station, same place. God bless you all, and may God keep you. Bye now.
Thank you.
Teach a new way. They're the ones.